who pointed a finger at me, and I was very bad in grammar, in everything that I don't... See, if you have something to say, I hire myself an editor, and he cleans up my language beautifully, he does it magnificently without tampering with the thought of mine, because everything that I say on a piece of paper is never, it, every word has a meaning, so it's not difficult to edit it. In those days, it was fantastic, the ideas that I had, and he pointed my finger at me after a work in school. He said, someday you will be great. And my mother always thought that I would be great, but which mother doesn't think that their son will be great? So.
With
other words, I was always very inventive. First, when I was very, very, the two aspects, I was, I avoided violence. I was afraid of violence. I was strong, and I had fights in good, even with Christians, you know, where we wrestled for hours on the floor. But obvious violence, I just shunned. I remember that once we came out from school and I had a fight with another Jewish boy, of course always in fun, but as you know, fun in children turns into great fury all of a sudden, and I hit him. And we used the satchels of the school for shields and the ruler for a sword, and I hit him on the nose, and I never forgot this. He still has the mark on his nose, and he was bleeding. But otherwise, I did not. As a matter of fact, I remember we ran after a Nazi in a field near Vienna, and we ran after him, and he was then thrown down to the floor, and everybody was kicking him, but I couldn't kick him, so the same attitude I have now. If I see a Nazi, I couldn't kick him, you understand? My mother always said, remember what you saw and tell it. And I always felt embarrassed because I said, I wanted to say to her, it really doesn't matter to me. You understand how cruel and how understanding?
Did you see it growing in that half year?
No, I don't think you understood. When the Nazis were already there, I should report to America the audacities they do.
You couldn't, with that kind of, you were too sensitive yourself to convey something that was so distasteful and so violent.
No, I think that's a misinterpretation. I think you have to be more cruel in my analysis of my, it really didn't matter.
Didn't matter to you.
Do you understand?
What you were seeing.
It did not matter. With other words, there's no ounce of revenge in, you understand this? Now I express, do you understand that?
I understand what you're saying.
That's the reason why some people,
no,
some people, oh, that's all right, that's perfect. Some people say to me, Viennese, oh, I would never go back to these people. For me, it doesn't matter. I live among these schizophrenic criminals, and it doesn't disturb because I'm living in a different world, and I take out of Austria and Vienna what is beneficial to me. You understand?
Mm-hmm. That I understand. Yeah.
But I think I want to make that point, as Nixon says, very clear, perfectly clear, is that there's no revenge. For instance, when we came back with our first daughter in 1956 to Austria, I had the idea that I convey to Life magazine that I would like to go back and see the Nazis of my school days and investigate this whole problem of guilt in these drawings. But after 5 minutes, there was nothing in me left of doing it. Do you understand? There was not once I came to Vienna, I said, how is it? It's useless. I mean, that's the reason why I talked to Dick, and I mean Richard Rubinstein, who is a very good friend of mine, over and over again. There's no sense harping. And I quote again Alexander Eliot. You should forgive, but not forget. Or you should forget, but you should not forget, but forgive. And now the forgiving is not an actual that I'm so good. It's natural. I don't think about it. Now I want to come back to these three cousins that are left in the world. My parents were killed, all the aunts were killed, everybody around were died in concentration, and I never saw anybody again.
When did you leave?
I left 1938, or 37, I think, and then went to Italy, stayed there until 1938, and then came 1938 in the spring to America.
Did your parents want to come with you?
Well, it's another strange thing. My mother, before Hitler came, had always, she was very much like, maybe like I am, but it's again nonsense to say, because she wasn't like me, you know? Because you're maybe back two grandfathers, three or four or five grandfathers back, you understand, much closer than what is right behind you. Now people say to me, whom did you like more, your mother or your father? And then Charlie Brown's, what's her name, would say wishy-washy. Because I really liked them both tremendously. I mean, I was the good son in the family, and my brother was the bad son in the family who was arrested for communist activity, and the police came at night, the secret police, and knocked on the door. That was before Hitler came, you understand? That was in the black fascism. It's called black fascism today. We have black fascism, we have brown fascism, and we have red fascism. I want to make that very clear. We have communist fascism, we have brown fascism, which was the Hitlerism, we have black fascism, with the Catholic dogmatic attitude. So he really brought tremendous woe over my family and my father and my mother, and we were always, and he was in prison, I was never caught, so I was the bad one and he was the good one. It's always was, but I say, we made that clear, this characterization, or as you called it, what did you call it? This blame, or whatever you would call it, never has any effect on anybody. It just happens. If it happens to somebody else, it would. Now I want to say that there is a destiny in me of coming through this whole Holocaust to save myself, as Jonah did, or as Noah did, you understand? I was selected by God to tell the truth, as Melville says. Melville says in his Moby Dick at the end. I don't know if you know. I was to tell thee.
Right. That's
right.
Right.
So,
why do you feel you were chosen?
Well, there's no reason. It's all super. Because
he's the one who remains.
That's right, the remains, and I slowly developed my greatness, and I feel that all the ideas that I have come straight from God. They don't come from a community, nor from any like I'm a really Jewish individual who has a direct line without any calf, golden calf in between. You understand, I have a direct, this is the two points that, that make me a Jewish artist. It's not the point of having a Mogen David on my paintings. You understand, that's just nonsense. Eternal nonsense to have like, what's his name, Chagall, this lousy artist. I mean, he's an illustrator. He's not a Jewish artist. He's nothing. He's absolutely nothing. He's not a Jewish artist. He's an illustrator. He illustrates the Bible. No, what we need is a force that talks about Judaism. What is Judaism? That you do not have to go to a religion and you are Jewish. And secondly, the dualism of right and wrong, blessing and curse. When you say Baruch, you mean the blessing, at the same time it means also the curse. Will you show me any phenomena in Christianity that is this wisdom, this tremendous wisdom? For a Christian, God is good, God is not good. God is good and evil, he's gigantic, he's powerful, he's exactly like the Jews in the Old Testament describe it, not like he's my brother, walk with him, walk and talk with him, that's a lot of shit. Romantic shit. Okay. Cut it off. Not a railroad station. I want to raise my finger that the Jewish community doesn't know what I'm doing. I'm not a Jewish artist.
Do you feel you're a Jewish artist?
Of course I am. And why am I a Jewish artist? Because I'm a Jew. And because I'm completely free. And I deal in the essentialism, is it on? In the essentialism of Judaism. That's why I'm a Jewish artist. You say, well, what has this to do with Jewishness? There's nothing, there's no, because what you're looking for is an illustration of the Bible, and I won't give it to you because I'm not an illustrator of anything. But I, in every painting, I manifest the Jewish belief. Now, you look sideways at these paintings, and what does it do? Well, there are certain things that have nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But in my, but these are part glimpses or aspects of reality. I can afford to do anything in my life I want to. You understand? I can paint a Christian church in Wachau and still remain a Jewish artist, or I can paint the Star Singers in Austria and stay a Jewish artist. You understand? I can do anything I want to. Chagall can't do anything. He only can illustrate the Bible. The moment he wouldn't do it, it's not a Chagall. But I can do anything I want to. If I want to be romantic this year, this winter, I want to be as romantic as I ever can be. That doesn't mean that I'll turn around and next door I paint a woman with a face shot off or with leprosy eaten away or an operation of DeBakey Texas. You're great. You should. Why don't you become my secretary without pay?
I would love to. Even without pen, it would be terrific. I'd love to. Just call me when you need me.
That's very good. Very good. How you immediately knew what I was groping for.
Well, I'm a literature teacher, so.
Oh, fantastic. So let's go back. So I was very good in drawing, and creating even at those days. Remember. There are certain things that I remember. When I was very young, I wrote a story that man is like a dog. He tries to catch his tail, and as faster as he turns, the faster the tail turns. He never can. But this is very symbolic, because everything man is doing, you think you go up to the moon, that's going to bring blessing to the world, or you have communism, that's going to be, or this movement, or this movement, or the, or psychology, or doctors will solve the problem. Nothing solves the problem, because the problem is an eternal problem. We have changed from the cage, the cage age. What is it called? Where the lived in the cave age.
The cave age.
We haven't changed at all. As a matter of fact, just to show you, I wrote with a woman now from Vienna to the Semmering, where I was doing a painting. She was magnificent, wonderful. I mean, if you condemn all the Viennese, again, you can say that is not true. There are some Viennese and there are some real Viennese probably who helped Jews. Maybe. But that's not real. Since we are living
our society is more open now.
No. Our society is, how do you call it, IBM machine, you know.
Computer age.
With other words, really, nobody cares of what the individual, for me, only what the individual thinks is important. So when you make a statement that all Viennese are schizophrenic, are rotten, and criminals, that's the truth. That's the truth. But on the other hand, there are people who are absolutely profound and good, and they are the really important people. You understand? So.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But so we talked about this. I talked about with this lady, and we were sitting in the train. I said, "What would happen if my parents?" That was tremendously profound. I think if my parents would come now again, alive, and look at Vienna, they would not recognize it. But normally, it would take them 1 minute to get accustomed to this, to the new. She says to me that man is very, very adaptable. You understand? Much more adaptable than we think. So, she said to me something, if you would take a caveman and take him out for millions of years and put him now in 5 minutes, he would get used to everything. That is very hard to understand, but that is the basic truth. Of course you would say, well, he doesn't know how to turn on the light, but he wouldn't get to it. It would. Have you ever gone with one of the airplanes from one reality to the other? There are certain boxes you go through, and by the time you arrive, you have completely in your mind, because what the reality that comes upon your mind is blessedly stopped by conceiving it. You cannot conceive reality. That's the reason why if somebody dies, you have the feeling it's not true. That person is going to wake up, because you cannot accept reality. If you would be able to accept reality, you would be a dead person the next minute, because it would be absolutely unacceptable, any change. So for this reason, this caveman, of course you would say it would take him some time, but he's so adaptable, he would take it after an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, the next day, and a week, he would be complete. Take the people, these women that are married to Americans, European women. In the moment they come to America, they leave all their goodness and following what you call the obedience in Europe and become truly aggressive American women. You understand?
Let's get into more philosophies in a minute. Let's
okay.
Get some more facts down.
About the family.
Well, yeah. you talked a lot about
now, your family. I want to say about the family. It was a close family. I think There is a tremendous difference between winter and summer in Vienna. In the winter time, you dream about sunny Italy. In the winter, you suffer, you sit in one room. You are always mostly cold. It's very hard to heat the ovens in Vienna, where you put wood into and coal into it. And my father was very recognized white-collar worker in a big shipping company, glamorous. We once visited him in his office, and then he was fired. When the 28, when the crisis came, he was fired. And he was given a big amount of money, like everybody in Europe. When you get fired here, you get nothing, but in Europe you get a big amount. And he invested this money. People, my mother and other people, would say that he was a dope, you know, that he didn't know business at all. Well, I don't know business either. I happen to have something that the product that is people, some people want. So he invested, my mother, there were these arguments at home, you know, like a woman always says, you're a failure, you don't bring enough money home. There was always the argument. I think she was wrong. She was basically objectively wrong. Of course she had to work and do needlepoint and tie and knit ties and do, which I want to say that later on I translated this imagery of her and the woman and the umbilical cord. What's it called?
Umbilical cord.
Thank you, sweetheart. The what is it called?
Umbilical
cord and the wound out of yarn. That's very, very important, this imagery. The first painting I did of my parents is when my mother was sitting, I mean, this characterizes them. My mother was sitting with her head bent down, maybe listening to some great music. Again, you can say she influenced me to music, to Schubert and Mozart and Tchaikovsky and Chopin and all these people that I knew when I was. But on the other hand, you take a person and you give him all the stuff he gives a damn about. He likes rock music. You understand that? Because he doesn't want it. He likes this droning of nothingness, as you can see all these. I very carefully listen to it. And I cannot find, of course I love the Beatles, but from then on, because they created recognizable profiles in their music. But when you listen to all these rock groups, the only power they have is their morbid, exhausting way of bringing their songs. You know, when you think of Bowie or other groups, that was on television the other day, and it's absolutely insane how they make up their faces. Have you ever seen? You never see them without the makeup, and they have these horrible faces, and they have a music that absolutely is nothing. It's just a drone. But people, majority of people, love the drone. That's the reason why non-objective people like this drone of the non-objectivity. They don't want to have my paintings because they're embarrassed. It's too personal. I don't want to listen to this. It's too involving. Now when I say shit, the word. Now this guy who is doing the piece on the point, this, that's nothing else. He screams to me, shit, 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 all day long. Why don't people say that it's a piece of shit? Because it's a square piece of shit that is made out of metal. That's what it is. It's an excrement. Now it's standing somewhere else. I don't know where it stands. I saw it. But there's another one there. And with other words, all these sculptures and all the Koenig, they do not do anything but excrements. You understand? And people, society wants this excremental, deadly nothingness. So where did I start out this?
Well, your father inspired your mother.
Yes, very good.
I want to go into your adolescence.
No.
How you spent your time then.
So that was the time we were still a family. We went on vacations. Of course, then once my father, then he invested all the money in a business that went down the hill. Less and less and less. And in the end, it was really a matter of just visiting dentists, because he was in the dental supply business with my uncle, and there were the arguments over there, just dreadful arguments. Everybody argues, but I think in the past, an argument becomes more memorable. Because I remember our whole house. When I say house, it's I want to again illustrate how house means in Europe. In Vienna, you have, I don't know if you ever been there, but the whole streets, nothing but apartment houses that were built at the turn of the century. They had a marvelous front with people, sculptures and everything, and in the back it was just crap inside. There was no hot water, there was no water in the house, there was nothing in the house. It was a hole, it was dreadful.
It was a facade.
A facade, but a magnificent facade. So my idea would be, is not to build new houses, but to put central heating into, which you can do in the cellar. These are marvelous cellars that are only the rats live in there, and so maybe washing that somebody in my time, my mother, we employed somebody who would come and wash our thing, and my mother would then iron it, or the people. And I want to immediately show, after my father was fired from this company, of course our economic went down. I would say that we are very, very poor. With other words, when we wanted to go skiing, we didn't have any shoes. I borrowed everything, the shoes, the skis, and the shoes went, water went into the shoes, and everything was a problem. I didn't see Austria at all. You asked me, what was your relationship to the Jewish community? What was my relationship to anybody? When you are a child in Europe, there's only one relationship, that's towards your friend. And strangely enough, my friend was a Christian who later became a Nazi, and from that day on we didn't talk. He fell in Russia on the front. What was the name of the town where they really were defeated? The family was the retreat. Kharkov, Stalingrad, of course, Stalingrad. Everybody fell in Stalingrad. So this is my relation. You ask myself, what was your relationship? It's with your parents, with your Christian friends, with the Jewish friend. Now I'm jumping forward a few years. A Jewish friend who is now a millionaire, one of the only, I have become a great painter, he has become a millionaire, he's in England. I am here, I walked with him every year. We had girlfriends, first we went out on vacations and to live with these girls, which was some sort of allowed by my parents, but frowned upon by the girls' parents. Always, but...
How old were you? Are you talking about now?
From 13 until until 19 years old.
That's what we're interested in now. Let's move on to that, like how you spent that time.
So I walked with my brother for the first time. Now first, I had a Jewish friend, which was Willy Marder. He was really my earliest friend, real friend. Of course, then we had arguments, and then we didn't talk with each other for 4 years, and the parents broke up. Also, they didn't talk, agreed with each other. Everything in Vienna is... Vienna is like everything else, only more so. An artist is like everybody else, only more so. It's on him, it's visible. You understand?
How do you contrast it with Pittsburgh?
That's a good question. Let's leave it at that. Well, it's the same thing I say to you, what I say to the Europeans. We have people like you, schizophrenics and insane people and unjust people and bigoted. What do you call it?
Bigotists,
you understand? But on the other hand, we have many more, amount of people, of great people, of kind people, of modest people of gigantic intellectual range, much greater than any European can be, because of the phenomena of the giganticness of America, that you have all the aspects of existence in America. You have all the aspects of existence in America.
Okay, let's move on now from the Times.
So we walked Europe. With other words, we left Vienna.
Oh, you walked Europe.
Now, first I walked, when I was 13 years old, I had already girlfriends before that. I was deeply in love with them.
Before 13?
Oh, sure. When I was 18.